Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Thank you. Our next guest doesn't care about this, but I got to clean this up. I was telling you earlier to join Newell Norman for some Ersters on Thursday as he broadcast live from Deanie's in Bucktown. And I mentioned that Robert Maestri, New Orleans mayor, asked FDR how you like them Ersters. Now, here's where the confusion comes in. There used to be a French restaurant out near West End, Masson's, and they had a picture on the wall of FDR eating there with Robert Maestri, which I'm sure they did. And I conflated that with the How You Like Them Ersters story, which actually happened at Antoine's because, of course, they were having Oysters Rockefeller. Either way, I wanted to straighten that out, and you can join Newell Thursday. He's going to be live at Deanie's Seafood in Bucktown for Shuck and Tell, a celebration of Louisiana oyster. More on that as the week progresses. Right now, we're joined by our guest, who I know doesn't care about oysters, but I had to clean that up, Dr. Sharon Clark, Bessie District 2 Representative. Good morning, Dr. Sharon Clark. How are you?
Good morning. I am fine. How are you, Mr. Tucker?
I am okay. Call me Tommy. Please tell me about absenteeism in the state. Some good news, huh?
Yes, we have some great news about absenteeism. Our chronic absenteeism rates are going down in the state of Louisiana. Alongside with our increase in our growth in literacy, and now we have numeracy on the table that we're working with, the chronic absenteeism goes hand in hand with making sure that our children continue to achieve in the state of Louisiana. So we are working together, and this is exciting under Dr. Brumley's administration.
I wanted to talk to you about absenteeism because, when I was growing up, it was like there was no absenteeism. You could get you behind the school. Is this something that... I don't know. Is there a point where absenteeism became a real problem, or has it always been a problem?
I mean, we've always had absenteeism and truancy, but not as much until after the pandemic. The pandemic brought on a whole nother realm of truancy and chronic absenteeism, especially with students staying at home. Some of them got used to that. Some of them did not always engage in school. So a lot of this was brought on around 2018-19 with the pandemic.
So to be clear, when you're talking about
absenteeism problem,
when you're talking a nationwide problem, when and Louisiana has done better than the nation or what? How does it look there, doctor?
We are doing better, right? Our actual academic rates have increased, especially in literacy, and we're one of the top three districts in the nation, states in the nation, with an increase of academics after the pandemic, but we are now working on our absenteeism. And so we're not leading yet, but we are increasing and making sure that we are decreasing the amount of absenteeism in the state of Louisiana. We are on a trend good now.
What can you really do? Because it's up to the parents, right? Ultimately, you can't go and get the kids, can you?
Yes, we can.
Oh, you can? Okay. Yes, tell me about it then. Tell me how you enforce absenteeism and how you fix the problem.
Well, the first thing that we decided to do as a task force under LGOE with Bessie also participating is making sure that we have a collection system to make sure all of that, the data that we are receiving is consistent. Sitting on the task force, one of the things that I realized across the state of Louisiana with the committee was that we're all collecting our attendance not consistently. So we're not reporting consistently. So now we need to, we're going to get on the same page with the task force and with a process of how we're recording and reporting our attendance. That's the first thing that we need to do.
Schools were looking at attendance. I'm sorry, doctor. I just want to jump in for a second.
Schools were looking at attendance differently
or like it would have to be three before it got their attention. Take me through that. What it looks like from the time a principal or whomever it is determines that a kid is absent.
And that's, I'm glad that you asked that because according to the law, it's by the third unexcused absent we're supposed to contact the family and put interventions and preventions in place as a system to make sure that we, the kid doesn't get to a truant level or a chronic absentee level. The districts were sort of collecting the data differently. Whereas one school district may say after you have up to 10 excused absences based upon different things, another district could have said five. So what's rendering a child truant in this district may not have rendered a child truant in another district. So the first thing was to get on the same page to make sure that data was collected consistent. And now we are on that page.
What constitutes an excused absence? Who decides that?
So that's actually defined in legislative practices. And what defines an excused absence is an illness or with a doctor's note, and we've actually came up with a draft of a consistent letter that is going to be submitted to the schools from a parent on this child is absent because of these particular reasons that are considered excused. And from there, they'll be able to make up work and not be considered truant. So like chronic absenteeism, and people get those two things confused. Chronic absenteeism is when a student is not in school for any particular reason. It could be for a suspension. It could be because a child is ill, on vacation, et cetera. It doesn't matter why. We just know that that child is not present in school. Truancy is considered, a child is considered truant when he or she has received five unexcused absences or tardies in a school year. That's when a child is considered truant.
So from the parent's standpoint, their responsibility, obviously, to the child is to get him to school, but their responsibility as far as the state is concerned and the school is concerned is what?
Is making sure if that child is not in school, that we receive documentation and information on why that child is not in school so that we can document it properly. But to be honest, the parent's responsibility is to make sure the child is in school. And we are finding that children are not in school. We look at the different subgroups to see if there's a trend or a rationale on is poverty a reason, is the ELL students are not coming to school. So we do look at all those subgroups to kind of like get an idea of who's not in school. And then we start looking at why they're not in school and how do we put the preventions in place and the interventions in place for that kid to give them the support. I have found sometimes kids are not in school for up to a week at a time because they don't have clean uniforms or clean clothes to come to school. So, yes, that is when, Tommy, we need to go out to that house and get that kid and find out what does this kid need to do to be present in a safe environment where we can feed this child and make sure that this child is achieving and learning and provide hope for that kid.
Doctor, I got family members in public education, and I know what they go through in terms of trying to get the kids to school, trying to get the parents to get the kids to school. They can only go so far, but yet the teachers are then graded on how these kids do on a standard test. And I don't think people realize that when you crunch in numbers, you got to be careful. Just as you said that you, from district to district, you have to have a standard definition of absence, excused absence or unexcused absence. Same thing when it comes to evaluating a teacher. If you're going to evaluate a teacher, well, you can't hold them responsible for a kid that doesn't show up. Or, as I understand it used to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, puts their head down during the LEAP test and gets a zero, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That is 100%.
See, I know.
Correct.
I know what's going on.
You're right about that.
So, what are some of the preventions or interventions that you can take when it comes to parents? Because you said you can go get them, but like, and I guess when I meant parents' responsibility, I didn't mean the student or to the school. I meant like what standards are the parents being held to by the state when it comes to getting the kids to school?
So the good thing about the state we're working on, too, and Chief Justice Weimer with Dr. K. Brumley and our BSEE president, Ronnie Morris, is doing a great job in spearheading and making sure that the first thing we want to do is meet the parents where they are. It's not about judging anybody or putting anybody down, but providing programs such as the FINS program, in which we talk with that parent.
The what program?
The parent about make, it's called the FINS program, and the FINS is across the state of Louisiana. It's a
FINS.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
FINS, okay.
And that program is to provide interventions to that parent when we get to that fifth absence point to say, hey, what's going on? What can we do? And to help track that child to see what it is that we can provide to that child. Like I said, it could be uniforms. It could be that the child is waking up late for school every day. It could be that the parent is trying to make sure the little kids get off to school and the older kid is late every day once the children get on a bus for another school. So we want to delve more into finding out what's causing this child to be absent and not in school.
And to be clear, we're not talking about kids skipping school or as, you know, maybe, or maybe I didn't play hooky doctor. I don't know. I'm not going to admit to anything. But we're talking about parents that are not seeing that the kids get to school. We're not talking about the kid leaves for school and then ditches. We're talking about the kid just stays home and the parents know about it. And for whatever reason, it's unexcused. Yeah. Accurate or not?
That's accurate. And it's actually a combination because we do have the students that leave, actually get on the bus to come to school and then walk right up that bus down the neighborhood somewhere. So we have those kids. And then we also have the kids right where the parent is saying, get up and go to school. And the kid is saying, I'm not going to school today. So that is happening also in our state. Across the United States, actually.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. If you've got any questions, comments about absenteeism, 504-260-1870. Or if you're a teacher and you see it, I'd like to hear from you as well. The Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Please note ever text and drive because I get a text here. It says I-12 East off-ramp to I-59 North. Bad ramp. Overturned 18-wheeler on fire in Slidell on I-12 off-ramp to I-59 North, so be aware of that. We'll have a look at traffic coming up right now. We'll take a break and be right back on WWL. 9:25, couple of minutes left with Dr. Sharon Clark, Bessie District 2 representative, talking about Louisiana's absentee rate, which fell last year after rising 2 years in a row. Somebody texted in, doctor, about their kid and having to take him to the doctor, but you're not saying necessarily that you need a doctor's note, or is it like a company thing where you need a note after 3 days, or is it, tell me what the policy is if you got a kid that's sick and it's 5 days and you don't take him to the doctor, do they have to take him to the doctor? Tell me how that works.
So we are looking at that, and if a kid has gone to the doctor, we are asking that the parent does provide a note to that school to let us know that that's what's happening, so we can differentiate between when a kid is actually absent and when a kid is truant. We do have a note that's listed on the state's website and on the district's website where if a parent just fills that note out and lets us know that this kid is sick at home, whatever, that can constitute an excused absence. But again, it's just also knowing and communicating with the school that this is what's happening with a child, that would be considered an excused absence for a student, and it would not count toward truancy.
So is there a grade level at which it's worse than others, or is it spread pretty much across the board?
It is spread pretty much across the board at this time. Some people say it's more in high school than in elementary schools, but we are seeing it spread across the board for different reasons. And we're looking at the subgroups to see if it's happening and what subgroup more, and we are finding it in the African-American subgroups with males, multiple race kids, students with disabilities, economically disadvantaged kids. So we are also looking at the rates to see and target what subgroup and how can we help those subgroups. And that's where FINS, which is, I'm sorry, I didn't say earlier, it's the Family and Needs Program across the state of Louisiana that helps supports the families without judgment to provide them what services they may need, which could be like social work services, et cetera. Just try to help that family get that child to school.
I knew what that was because a representative friend of mine texted it into me, family in needs of service.
I'm sorry.
When it comes to, I just want people to understand here from the student's perspective, you might have a third grader whose parents might or may not have a drug problem, might or may not be in a domestic violence situation. The kid can't do anything about it. They're third grade. They're not going to school. They can't keep up. And this just goes to the nature of the tangled problem that we're looking at here, doctor. And I'm preaching to the choir on this, but this is for the audience. So the kid can't go to school. Parents are messed up. The teachers are responsible for teaching this kid, and if they don't do well on a LEAP test, then the teacher gets graded poorly, the school gets graded poorly, the state gets graded poorly. It all goes down to the weakest link in the chain, right? And you can't blame the kid
for
this. And if anything, it's the kid's the victim in this. The kid is the one that's getting hurt the most. So are we making inroads into this to fix this or not?
We are making inroads, and that's the most exciting part about this, Tommy, that we are coming together as a state with a statewide effort. At that point, when we're bringing up a kid like that, which is in a helpless situation, mm-hmm. in a sense, but if the school-level attendance team is monitoring that data, and after the third day that teacher reports or that school reports that kid is out, it is then up to that school-level attendance team to say, hey, this kid is out, something is wrong, let's call the parent or do a school visit. And once we do that school visit and we see that home, if they let us in, because sometimes they don't let you in, or have that conversation with that child, because you can see neglect. Neglect is not hard to hear and see after a while by the nonverbal cues of a kid.
Well, you can see it, doctor. You can see it even if the kid goes to school. You can see neglect, right?
Yes. Yes, yes, you can. Yes. If you're monitoring your kids close enough, and that's what we do as educators, that's what we're good at, right? At that point, we then start putting in the interventions and preventions to save this particular child, which may be to link that child with friends, which may be to call DCFS, because maybe the neglect is beyond just not coming to school. You can tell about if a kid asks for extra servings at lunch. Those are things that you kind of just start picking up to see what's actually happening with this kid that is not in school.
And or filthy clothes, et cetera, right? Or filthy clothes, yes. And those kind of things. Doctor, I wish we had more time. So. I'm going to tell you what, the best thing that ever happened to me was having family members in education, because I got to see what it looks like behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a tangled mess. Agreed?
Yes, I agree. And Tommy, whenever you need us back on your show to talk about this, we are here. We want to make sure kids are in school in Louisiana.
I'd love to have you anytime, doctor, because education, it all goes back to education. I don't care what it is. It all goes back to education. I know I'm preaching to the choir again, but I'm talking to the audience. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You have a good day. All right. Dr. Sharon
Bye-bye.
Clark, Bessie District 2 representative. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Jeff Nowak about the Saints right now. 9:30 time for traffic on WWL. Nine thirty-eight, 22 till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Joined now by Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good, Tommy. How about you?
I'm all right. I texted somebody during the game that the game was riveting, as in having rivets pounded into my head.
Yeah, that's
I
a,
love
that's
the
a,
Saints,
graphic, but I can understand it for sure.
I love the Saints. I do. It just things are off to a rough start.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because if you talk to some people around the country prior to the season, I think you would have heard the Saints didn't have a chance in either of these games. And, you know, what makes them frustrating is the Saints clearly did have a chance, and the Saints probably should have won one of, if not both of these games. And, you know, and so, you know, you're happy to be frustrated as opposed to, you know, completely demoralized, right? I think there's something to be said for that, but it's 2 weeks in a row now. And at a certain point, you got to learn how to win games. And that's the frustrating part is I think a lot of these issues are self-inflicted. Like, I don't think the 49ers played well. They played a clean game, particularly in the first half. They were kind of begging the Saints to come and take that game from them in the second half, and they just couldn't do it. And at the end of the day, you know, if there's always stuff to pick out and choose and criticize and, but, you know, the third and long defense, and not even the third down defense, the third and long specifically defense has been just atrocious. And over the first 2 weeks, by my count, it's not a stat, but the Saints have forced third and seven or longer 17 different times, which is
so you get them
a
behind
great
the chains.
Number.
You get them
right,
behind
that's
the chains, right?
That's where you want to be. Defensive coordinators sit there all week trying to figure out how can we get these offenses in third and long. You do it 17 times in 2 weeks. That's a good number. The problem is they've only ended a drive on seven of those instances. A couple of them have been penalties. A couple of them have been field goals. And several of them, you know, say third and seven, but a lot have been like third and 11, third and 12, third and 14, third and 15. It's like you have to succeed. I don't know what the percentage is that you need to hit, what the league average percentage is, but I assure you it's higher than 40% getting off the field in those situations. And You know, like, that's the thing. If you get, if you're, if that number is 65-70%, Saints are 1-1, if not 2-0. And the kind of the biggest drive for the Saints defense, they allowed conversions on 3rd and 11 and 3rd and 10 on back to back sets of downs, the second of which went for a 42-yard touchdown. So, you know, like, that's every week you're going to look at one or two things and say, how can we clean this up? Last week it was the penalties. This week it's like, you got to figure something else, something out on 3rd and long. You just can't win games that way. It's just a fact. Like, you're not going to win games if your defense is winning on 1st and 2nd down and losing 7.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
70% of the time on third down.
I don't know what's going on with Blake Groupie, because in training camp he was perfect, right?
He missed one kick and it was in the rain, you know? Okay. He was something like 35 or 36, and yeah, we'll see. I'm hoping to chat with him at some point this week, because that was a weird miss, you know, because I've watched a lot of Blake's kicks. Mm-hmm. And what you can say about his kicks is that they're always kind of laser straight. Like, when he misses, it's not because he yanks, or not because he slices or draws it too much. It's because maybe there's wind, or he starts it too far left and it stays too far left. Mm-hmm. The kick on Sunday started right down the middle, and you could just see it just like immediately slice. If you ever played golf, you know exactly what that's like. You're like, oh, it's going straight. And then suddenly it's going straight to the right. And you know, I looked at the kick. I didn't see anything wrong with the operation. I think he just missed it. And you know, that's frustrating, because you go into the season and you're like, okay, where can we just chalk up consistency and points? And it's, hey, anytime we have to kick, we feel good about that. And suddenly you're not feeling good about that. You have a guy who's missed two of his first four kicks. And I think that weighs in on other decisions. There was a point in that game, the Saints punted from the 49ers 41-yard line. instead of attempting a 59-yard field goal, which I could tell you is well within Blake's range. You know, and that punt goes into the end zone. So, you know, you it's a 21-yard, you know, field position switch instead of a potential 3 points on the board. And I think, you know, if Blake is 4 for 4 and feeling confident, maybe you kick that and it's a different situation. And so, no, that's very frustrating because these games are played with such tight margins in general, and especially for the Saints, where the way you're running your offense and you're not going to be, you know, kind of taking the reins off and saying, go get it, kid. You gotta take advantage of those points. So no, I don't think you're considering a change at kicker right now. I don't think that's something that you're really considering, but a few more weeks, you got to lock in. Otherwise, I think that is something you have to start talking about.
Having done both, you know, it's strictly between the ears. It's just like golf. Like you talk about hitting a slice, he knew it the second he hit it, just like when you hit a golf ball and you cut it, and you know as soon as you hit it that it's going right? If you play a lot of golf or enough golf, you know it. So I don't know what you do with him. I don't think you cut him. I think he's got the ability. I just think you got to somehow get between his ears and straighten him out. How you do that, I don't know. I have no earthly idea how you do it.
I actually feel like they should have caught and kicked that 59-yarder because I think he makes it, and that's where you build that confidence back up, right? Like, and I think he's better from longer out. Like, his struggles have come closer in, and I just think you get him out there for a 55-yarder, he'll knock it through, and suddenly it'll be like, all right, you're good.
We're back on schedule.
It's a mental thing, and you're 100% right. It's completely between the ears when it comes to Blake.
Let's talk about Spencer Rattler. You can't blame him for anything. Pro Football Focus had him, I think, the top-graded Saint of the whole team.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that did not go the way I anticipated coming out of camp. You know, like you expected Blake Groupie to be the locked in kind of guy, and he's not. You know, you expect the defense to kind of stand up. The pass rush with Chase Young hasn't been out there. You know, so there's a lot of things that went differently. And then Spencer Rattler, I expected him to be an issue, and I don't think he's been a problem. Especially when you look around at some of the other first and second year quarterbacks in the NFL and how they're playing and their numbers, and then you look at Spencer and, you know, if you took the names off of them and said, hey, which one of these guys is the first round pick and which one of these guys is the fifth round pick, you wouldn't be able to pick Spencer Rattler's stats out of there and say, oh, he's clearly below these other guys. I mean, no interceptions, 3 touchdowns, 400-something yards. He's been sacked 4 times. 3 of those came in this game, and a lot of that was, hey, you're trying to make something happen late in the game. No, I mean, he's played well enough for you to win. There's no doubt about it.
Had a better quarterback rating than Mac Jones.
Yeah, and Mac, you know, Mac played well in that game. I thought they played very similarly. The difference was Spencer was able to get out and move with his legs and make some things happen.
If I might jump in, that's what makes it so frustrating because, you know, we talked before the season about it's all about injuries, and injuries are going to happen, but it's hard to bet a total on wins and losses before the game because you don't know when you're going to catch what team at what point with injuries. So here you got no George Kittle, you got no Brock Purdy. Here's your chance, right? But not.
Yeah, and the biggest issue in that game to me in terms of why you weren't able to stop Mac Jones is you just didn't make him uncomfortable. And, you know, I think you were trying to sit back a little bit. You had Jonas Sanker, a rookie safety, taking over. Julian Blackman's done for the year. And so I think you were a little less aggressive than you might have wanted to be because I think you were probably trying to play it safe on the back end. And you needed someone up front. You're rushing for. You need somebody to win, and just no one was winning. You know, Chris Rumpf won once, but even that sack, that strip sack, it took him 4 seconds to get there. Mac just held the ball too long. So, like, you got to figure out something there. And that's where I think, you know, we talk about third and long. It's not just this isolated, we're not getting off the field in third and long. It's also, you don't have Chase Young out there. You're not getting pressure on the quarterback, and that allows the quarterback to go through his progression. So there's layers to this. Hopefully they can get Chase Young out there this week because that's why you paid him and he looked great in camp. So we'll see, you know, the first injury report comes out on Wednesday. I'm very hopeful to see him back out there at least in a limited capacity because I think if you had Chase Young in that game, you're a lot better on third down. And I think you get off the field, you get the ball back to your offense in better situations and you probably go and win it with him and not out there. You're not getting the pressure. Mac Jones is able to operate comfortably. He's able to get into a rhythm and the game goes how the game goes. So, now, there's a lot of things that went differently than I expected, but, you know, I also think that there's a lot of things you can point to and say, hey, if you clean this up, suddenly this is a win, right? And that's, you know, when you're in a season like this, that's the things you got to figure out.
when you talk about the sack, I'm laughing because the person I was watching the game with said, good play by the Saints. I said, yeah, well, on the 49ers side, he kind of held that ball a long time. Let's talk about Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yeah, I thought Kool-Aid bounced back pretty well in this game. I haven't got a chance to really kind of dig into the film yet. That's kind of my Tuesday mission on during the season. I spent a lot of Tuesdays kind of parsing out like what happened. But you know, I didn't. You know, in week one they kind of went after him with Marvin Harrison, and you know, he seems to be better in these in the matchups where he doesn't have to, you know, be as physical. Like the 49ers didn't really have a big physical receiver. Like even their big guys, MVS. Is a speed guy, right? Like they don't have someone who's going to try to just push you off the spot. And I thought he handled that well. I think their issues came on the other side, and the 49ers, I think they knew Ike Yadam pretty well. He was out there with him last year, and they clearly felt very comfortable going after him because they did in that game. And, you know, he had a bad penalty where I thought he was in good position, but he just got there early. And again, you know, that kind of it rushing coverage, you can't talk about them independently, and you're asking these guys to go out there and cover for too long and they're getting kind of eaten up. But I did think for Kool-Aid's confidence, he came back and he had a really strong week two. And that's important because they're going to need him. He's going to take his lumps in some matchups. That's just the deal when you have put that much pressure, that much, you know, responsibility on a young player. But for him, the important thing is, hey, how did I get beat week one? How do I improve in that part of the game? Do I get better? And so I thought he had a strong game.
Kool-Aid Island. let me ask you about the Seahawks looking ahead.
Yeah, Seahawks are going to be a tough game. You know, Sam Darnold is a quarterback that the Saints have oddly had trouble against. Right? This is from before he went to the Vikings and kind of resurrected his career. I remember 2021, they went out and faced him with the Panthers. And, you know, you came out of that game, that week two game, thinking, wow, the Panthers offense with Sam Darnold, maybe they got something figured out. Well, no, they didn't. The Saints just didn't have their house figured out. And so that's going to be interesting. Maybe he turns back into a pumpkin a little bit. I think I'm less worried about the Seahawks and more worried about how does this kind of mistake laden team operate in hostile road conditions, right? And that's where Spencer Rattler, I think, you know, he had his struggles. One of his struggle points was going on the road and playing consistent football, and not like playing winning football, playing, okay, is he playing well enough that we don't have to bench him in the third quarter type football? So I think that's the next step for him. We've seen him play well at home. Can he go on the road and play well? And this is going to be an aggressive defense. You know, they're going to be a team that wins rock fights, right? They're going to get after you. They're going to put pressure on you. And we'll have to see. But the Saints are going to go in as big underdogs in that game. I think they can win that game. They just have to clean up these issues that have been plaguing them. And that's the question, is whether they can do that. I don't think the Seahawks are head and shoulders above the Saints. I think it'll be another competitive game. And it sure would be nice to get a win there, because otherwise you're staring 0-4 in the face, because I do not like that matchup with Buffalo in week four.
Yeah, that's a big win on the road. You certainly don't want to go get to 0-3, and then you really don't want to get to 0-4, because then, I don't even want to talk about that. I don't even want to think about that. When you talk about Seattle and the win on the road, or if they do win on the road, maybe it'd do them good to get away from the dome, you think, or not?
Well, you know, the Saints have lost their last five home games. The atmosphere in that game was, I would say, disappointing, just in the sense that
it's kind of the 49ers fans, right?
Yeah, it felt almost like a neutral site game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, when I went to the Sugar Bowl, they had Alabama on one side and they had Clemson on the other side, and it was one side was orange and one side was red. Mm-hmm. It's how it felt in that game. It was like, oh, that's the red side. Like, that's not how it's supposed to be.
And how did it get to be that way, Jeff?
Well, I mean, you lose enough games at home. that's just going to be the energy, right? Like, you know, 49ers fans travel well. They're going to pay good money for the tickets. And my only hope is that the fans selling their tickets are getting a good deal on them, because that would be disappointing if they were selling them below face value. But no, you got to give your fans – I'm not blaming the fans at all. Like, the team has to go out there and put out a winning product and get the fans excited. And if they can't do that, which they haven't been able to do – in general over the last several years, and they've been even worse at home, that's the product of that, you know, and you gotta win games and turn that into a home field advantage again. And it won't be like that for every team. Some team fan bases travel better than others. The 49ers fans travel well. Cowboys fans travel well. The Lions fans, as we saw a few years ago, travel well. And when you face those teams at home and you're not protecting your own house, that's what's going to happen to you. So hopefully they can change that.
And we all know about Atlanta. We don't need to talk about that. Well, I'm going to tell you what, 1-2 is different than obviously 0-3, and then 1-4 is even better than 0-4. As you talk about Buffalo, you don't want to concede anything, but still in all, that's a lot of traveling for the Saints to go to Seattle 1 week and then Buffalo the next.
Yeah, and they're getting a head start on it this week. They're normally the team would fly out on a Saturday, get there Saturday evening, do a walkthrough, and then do the game. The next day, this week, they're actually traveling out to Seattle on Thursday. So they're going to have a bit more time baked in. And I do think, if you're a fan of parallel histories, back in 2019, the Saints started 1-1. They had that crazy opener against the Texans. They had a 58 yard game winning field goal from Will Lutz. And week two, they go out to LA and Drew Brees, has the thumb injury. And it's like, oh man, the sky is falling. You're 1-1. You're going to be without Drew for more than a month. And so they went out to Seattle early that year. Practice at the University of Washington, went into I can't remember what the stadium was called at that point, but they went in there and won it. Teddy Bridgewater, that was his first start, and all of a sudden everything kind of seemed like it was on an even keel again. You go out, you win your next four games, and suddenly you're 5-1. You get Drew Brees back, and maybe they're hoping they can repeat that history again. They're going to be practicing out at the University of Washington on Friday. That would be nice, if you're of the belief that time is a flat circle and you're just coming back around again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be the case this week. Hopefully it can be kind of a bonding thing. Hopefully they can lock in. Cause I didn't think they came out looking like a team that was ready to win that game. And that was the most frustrating part for me, is it just looked like guys came out flat and you just can't do that. So
nope.
Hopefully they can get that sorted out.
You only get 17 chances. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Thomas.
Appreciate it. Have a good trip out to Seattle and then in Buffalo. Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, 954, 6 till 10. We'll take a break, find out what Newell's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all.
Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.